The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
The New York Football Giants spent the weekend bulking their roster, signing wide receiver Kenny Golladay on a four-year, $72 million deal. A source told Adam Schefter. The source added that the deal can be up to $76 million, including $40 million guaranteed. Let's welcome in Super Bowl champ Damian Woody. Damian, top of the morning to you. Well, I guess it's kind of
almost good morning. Good morning.
Good to see you, sir.
Damian.
Morning. Max, starting with you.
Here we go.
No jacket, no tie, nothing.
We just got out of bed and just threw on a shirt. Is that what we do? Is that what we doing?
You see that baby Graham behind me, right? So that lets you know right now what my status is on this show, okay? This is how I'm rolling on First Take today. I'm just going to put up a little small flex on you.
Damian got back into the living room. That's what I'm impressed about. Damian was in like the corner of the, all the kids pushed him into the corner of the bathroom. He reclaimed the living room. Good for you.
Damian forgot, Molly and Max, Damian forgot, this ain't the only show I have. I do have Stephen A's World. Now, I highlighted Damian Woody over a week ago.
Where's
Don't
the
let
invite?
Me lock in on you again.
Where's the invite?
Don't you let me better. Lock in on you, you again. Better. And Molly, I was making fun of his TikTok stuff. Don't let me lock in on you again. I'll make a whole show out of you, bro. Don't mess with me. Don't mess with me.
Do you have a TikTok account or it's your kid's account?
No, I have one. I just haven't posted much on it. I've only got one post, but we got some content coming. We got something coming for you.
But it's a quality post.
Damian, just say no. Say no to
that
stuff.
Yeah.
I don't even know where to go from here. Okay, Max, what are we talking about? Our Giants. All right. So, Max, you and I are both Giants fans. Who should be the favorites in the NFC East right now after all the moves that happened?
This keeps changing. They sign Dak. You go, Dak. And then you got Fitzmagic with a good defense. You go, okay, Washington. The answer right now is the New York Football Giants. They should be the favorites in the East.
Repeat that again.
The New York Football Giants.
Really?
Why are you laughing, Stephen A? Right.
Seriously?
That's right.
Seriously, you say that on public television?
Now, Stephen A. Woo. Now, this is a
Stephen A. Be professional.
Okay.
It's fluid.
All right.
The
okay.
List is fluid.
Okay. All right. All right. You got me there. It's fluid.
It's a fluid list, but they just signed Golladay. All right. For you.
Danny Dimes. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. By the way, you act like you got to win 12 games to win this division. They might go 500.
How are your Steelers? Stunk it up. Lost all their good players. Who cares about your Steelers?
This is why, Molly.
Still in the playoffs.
Molly, this is why I'm taking the Giants. First of all, I have to have faith in my guy, right? You got to have faith in your quarterback. Daniel Jones flashed as a rookie. Danny Dimes, he looked good. He had no progress as a year two player. I was very disappointed. However, he didn't have Saquon Barkley. And the offensive line wasn't great. But they've developed certain pieces on the offensive line that are promising. Andrew Thomas came on in the second half of the year. Will Hernandez is a talented guy. I still think he could be a good pro. Pert was like, they have hopes for different guys on the line. You can see why. This is not the line from 5 years ago. That's number one. Number two. I just addressed the weakest part of the team. Now let me talk about the rest of the team. The defense was good and getting better. That's a good defense the Giants have. You're not laughing now. Mm-hmm. Now let's talk about the offense. Saquon comes back. That can't be overstated. Do you know how much that helps Daniel Jones? Saquon's, when he's healthy, the most dynamic back in football. The most. 2,000 yards from scrimmage as a rookie. Can catch, can run, forget it. It's 233 pounds and blazing speed, change of direction, the whole thing. Golladay is a number one receiver. Mm-hmm. When he's healthy, he's a number one receiver. Right. And, you know, Slayton may be, too. We don't know. But he wasn't a bona fide number one yet, at least. But now you have that to go with Shepard. Kyle Rudolph's a pro. And you put him with Engram, who has upside talent. The fact is, when you look at the skills position groups, The Giants are as talented as anyone in the division. And add that to the defense. Who's more well-rounded right now? Washington, you think they have a better defense, probably, but are they more well-rounded? Right. Dallas, they don't have a defense. The Eagles are in tatters. The Giants are the answer.
Really? So we just go take up 5 minutes talking about Danny Dimes? And then, you know,
3 minutes.
You mean a quarterback that went on a sprint and had a clear path and had a clear path to a touchdown and couldn't stand up straight? You mean that dude that tackled himself?
I gotta tell you,
it's Daniel? Funny. It's funny. Hey, listen. You mean the latest dude that was given a nickname by Molly that didn't pan out? You mean that guy? Let me tell you something, okay? As long as you got Daniel Jones,
such a hater.
Danny Dimes is your quarterback. I can't see it. Now, I will say this. As I said on many occasions, I'm a fan of Joe Judge. I'm a fan of the job that he's done. They got better every single week. I believe in that guy. I believe in his coaching ability. I don't believe they will stick up the joint. That's why I don't have him in last place. But first, over Dak and the Cowboys with that offense, first, over Washington and that defense, first, with Ron Rivera coaching the Washington football team. It's really interesting how, you know, you and Molly get caught up in the New York Giants. See, this is what y'all do. Y'all set yourself up in disappointment. It's a damn shame. Giants ain't coming no damn first place. And I love Saquon Barkley. He's a stud. No question about it. Giants ain't coming no first place. You can scratch that. Now, I'll admit that they'll compete. They'll be in the mix. We'll be talking about them as the season wanes because they'll be in the hunt. No question, but I can't see them finishing any better than third place. And I think it's a respectable, you know, it might maybe a game out or something like that. Maybe a 500 team this coming season. But first place with Daniel Jones as your quarterback, I got to see it to believe it. I got to see it to believe it. I just do.
Hey, Stephen A.
Yeah, man.
Guess who I'm picking in the NFC East? Just take Cowboys. A guess
Cowboys.
Who I'm picking in the NFC.
Cowboys.
How about them Cowboys again? Okay, we got.
Oh, you know, you didn't learn your lesson after you picked them to win the Super Bowl?
I'm a glutton for punishment, so I'm going back to the Dallas Cowboys in the NFC East this year. We know Dak Prescott coming back off that injury, and he automatically is the best quarterback in that division, okay? And we saw all the injuries that the Dallas Cowboys had, particularly on the offensive side of the football, especially up front of the offensive line. Those guys are coming back. They got all the weapons, whether it be the wide receiver group, the Zeke Elliott running back. This offense should be prolific. Now, I know everybody's going to talk about the defense. They were horrible. They stunk it up.
Get worse.
Mike Nolan was trash. Mike Nolan was trash as the defensive coordinator. I don't need the Cowboys to be the 85 Bears on defense. I just need Dan Quinn, the new defensive coordinator, just be average. Be average. Don't go out there and give up 160 yards rushing per game. If you can avoid that, Dallas is going to win this division. Because guess what? I like some of the moves the Washington football team made. But when it comes to Ryan Fitzpatrick, we don't know what Ryan Fitzpatrick we're going to get. One week he's throwing for 450 yards. And next week he's throwing for 4 interceptions. We don't know what he's going to bring. And as far as the New York Giants, listen, I am a fan of Joe Judge. I think he brings a no-nonsense approach, discipline, all that. But the quarterback, Danny Dimes, come on, man.
Let's see a season. First of all, they're going to draft another offensive lineman. They're going to have talent on the line. Let's see a season with Saquon Barkley. That was huge. Saquon has an enormous effect. And let me tell you another story about a young Giants quarterback drafted and it wasn't going so great coming off, not such a great year, without high expectations at that point. And they acquired a premier wideout, Plexico Burress, and happened to win the Super Bowl with Eli Manning under center. And he was number one overall pick. But there were grumblings about Eli. And it's not exactly the same. That was 3 years after he was drafted. But here, a couple years after Danny Dimes is drafted, after a promising rookie year, he went backwards year two, at least didn't develop. They sign a premier wideout. Galladay, when he's on the field, is a real number one. That's what that offense is missing.
Max,
and unlike
Max,
the guys you Max. Mentioned, Dallas doesn't have a defense. Washington doesn't have an offense. The Giants have a chance to have both.
Max, here's the problem. You said it yourself when he's on the field. That's the problem with Kenny Galladay. He misses a lot of time because he's injured. So you're investing all this money into your potential number one. And he's always in the ice tub. That's the problem here, Matt. That's why I don't really like that move.
Well, look, they added a lot of pieces. Galladay probably came a little cheaper than he would have been had he been available all the time if he wasn't hurt.
So you got an injury-prone number one.
Yep.
You got a guy in Saquon Barkley coming off an injury.
Yep.
And we got Danny Dimes.
Yep.
Who's been in and out injured-wise, and when he's healthy, he can't hold on to the football. You know what I took the liberty of watching yesterday, Max Kellerman? Had a little bit of time on my hand in the morning before the NCAA tournament. I was watching Friday Night Lights. You know what I'm saying? I was watching. And you remember the guy?
Yeah,
a damn good movie. Good movie. It was the movie.
Good movie, right. Good show, too.
Billy Bob Thornton. They did a great job. But you know something I noticed? You remember that scene? You remember when the father was torturing his son because his son couldn't hold on to the ball?
Yeah.
First thing I thought about was Danny Dimes.
Yeah, me too.
I thought about Daniel Jones. I thought about his inability. The father just wrapped tape around and put the football in him while he was with his girl. Okay, what I'm saying? And wrapped the tape around him with the football and trying to be, hold on to the damn ball.
See, Daniel Jones, that was too nice.
That's what had me thinking about Daniel Jones. That's what had me thinking about Daniel Jones. So you got a quarterback who can't hold on to the ball, or a star running back that's coming off a nasty injury, and of course, a number one wide receiver who's injury prone. Mm-hmm. Good luck with that.
By the way,
all
teams have question marks. The Giants will be health and Daniel Jones' ability to develop in year three.
And by the way,
I have faith.
And Damian, I got the Cowboys winning the NFC East too. But guess what? It's right there. It's setting up the fall. It's setting up
Cowboys
the fall.
Cowboys coming in third
the
right now.
The fall is coming, Molly. Look for it. You know, it's no fun. I don't want the Dallas Cowboys. Listen, I don't want the Dallas Cowboys to stink up the joint in September, October. I want them to be flourishing right up until a holiday.
Right, thanks.
And then right around the time of holidays, they start descending. They start plummeting. That's what we want for Cowboys.
He can't digest his turkey if the Cowboys win on Thanksgiving.
You have such problems.
It's no fun
thinking
Dallas losing
Friday
early.
Night Lights, thinking about Danny Dimes.
I want Cowboys fans sticking out their chest. Yeah, we go do it.
Molly, who's
and then the
win
holidays
the
come. Bow! That's what I want. I want it like
Who's
that.
Who's going to win the division, Molly?
I'm dead. The New York Football Giants, that's who.
Is.
Listen, I'm coming off watching UConn couldn't make a shot, looking embarrassing in front of Maryland. I can't deal with all my teams being terrible.
We did tell you that was going to happen before the game.
Have you heard
we
of
did
faith?
Tell you that, Molly.
Faith, walk by faith, not by sight.
And if it goes sideways, I'll blame Gettleman.
We tried to tell you, Molly.
I'm
you
too loyal
it.
For my own good. We got to go to break. Bye, Damian.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Elsewhere, in a heartbreaker against the Thunder on Sunday, the Houston Rockets extended their losing streak. Fellas, listen to this, to 20 games under rookie head coach Steven Silas. In his postgame presser, we saw defeated Steven struggle to find words for the team's ails.
Hey, Coach. Tough one as the streak kind of continues. Did you feel your team getting, you know, tight at all down the stretch? Did you feel like the weight of these losses is kind of building?
Yeah.
Unreal. He has not been put in a position to succeed, so really fair to judge him. Stephen A., whose exit hit the Rockets harder? Would you say it's Maury or James Harden?
Well, I'm going to say James Harden, of course. Because we know how spectacular James Harden could be. And there is no way in hell that the Houston Rockets would be on a 20-game losing streak if James Harden was still in a Rockets uniform. But I'm also going to say it hit incredibly hard because of Harden's departure, because Harden wasn't just your star player. But Harden was the one, because of his greatness, that made everybody better. and made everybody interested in playing the game of basketball because they were competitive. And by being competitive, everybody else would not have jumped ship. You know, you look at this right now. Listen, John Wall is averaging 21-6. He's not a scrub. But we see what there's a difference. There's levels to stardom. And there's an elite level that he's just not on compared to the other guys, even though he can play. We got Victor Oladipo there. The same could be said about him. Let's take into account what Steven Silas is going through, ladies and gentlemen. This man served as an assistant coach for 20 years in the NBA before finally getting this opportunity. Russell Westbrook, gone. James Harden, gone. Hell, DeMarcus Cousins. Not that he would have made that big of a difference. Gone. Okay? You got that going on. John Wall's coming off his Achilles injury. Victor Oladipo still ain't what he used to be because of his injury from a couple of years back. Christian Wood was out for a while, and even though he's got some talent, he's not that big of a difference maker. He's a good player and a great piece for a good team, but he's insignificant on a bad team. This is what Steven Silas walked into. Now, forgive me if I offend everybody by reminding folks, I want to emphasize, I think Steve Nash is doing a hell of a job. I think Mike D'Antoni on that bench obviously is doing a hell of a job because we know anything great that happens on the offensive side of the ball has something to do with Mike D'Antoni because he's just that brilliant of an offensive mind in the National Basketball Association. But when you look at it, I will remind everybody that Steve Nash, God bless him, great dude, never coached on any level in his career. And the first job he gets is coaching Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving with James Harden on the way. And Steven Silas waits 20 years and look at what he has to work with. These are the kind of things that black coaches have lamented forever. And I've said it before and I'll say it again, Max. There are black coaches who have gotten head coaching jobs that never had any coaching experience. They ain't never inherit no job like Steve Nash has. That's never been their first job. And it just strikes me as more than coincidental that at this day and age, and right now today, as we're sitting here talking about Steven Silas, and you juxtapose that position to what Steve Nash is dealing with in Brooklyn. Wow.
Well,
wow. It's amazing. And again, it's not Steve Nash's fault. He did nothing wrong. He's doing a hell of a job. It's just a sad, sad state of affairs. What black coaches continue to have to deal with. It really is.
You and I don't see exactly eye to eye on that point. I'm going to answer the question in a second, but I want to respond to what you said. We don't see exactly eye to eye on that point. I mean, it was KD and Kyrie who got Steve Nash.
Oh, I know that.
Yeah, right. So,
okay. Oh, I know that. That's what, I mean, we do agree because that's what I'm saying.
That's personal relationships. But I will say this, and you don't need a bodyguard, you know, on this issue or other issues, but I do want to say you have been on this issue from day one. And if you look at Silas at that press conference, you can see that you obviously have a very good point. He is devastated. He waited 20 years, and now he's looking at 20 consecutive losses. And think he must be thinking, like, what's going on? I mean, besides trying to just coach the guys, what's happening to my career as a head coach? I've been set up to fail. Okay. Now, let me.
Now, they have injuries, though.
They have injuries. No question.
Right.
Let me answer the question as to what hit the Rockets harder, Harden or Daryl Morey leaving? I'm going to say Daryl Morey. Now, obviously, if they had James Harden on the team, even if he's trying to play his way out of town, he ain't losing 20 straight games. He can't help himself. He's too excellent. But what I see from the Rockets, and this is not the new GM, Raphael Stone. I'm not casting any aspersions because let's see what happens over time.
Right.
Let's see if he has a plan, and let's see what happens over time. But with Daryl Morey and the Rockets, it wasn't just, oh, they have D'Antoni as coach, or they have Harden as the point guard, or whatever you want to call him. It's that there was a plan. There was a brain, a mind at work at the top of the operation. And so there was always competence. Things were always happening in a, you know, moving in a positive way. When you take Morey out of the equation, it seems rudderless to me. At this moment, again, Stone, the new GM, he got a haul in the trade for James Harden in terms of draft picks at a point where I thought they had very little leverage. So we did a very, very good job there. But in terms of the way the team is functioning right now, they're utterly rudderless. It's one thing to lose James Harden. It's another thing to lose 20 straight games. To me, that seems like a rudderless team. So I'm going to say, and then you see what's going on in Philadelphia, where finally they seem to be getting things right. But I think it's the Daryl Morey effect.
Let's also highlight why this is affecting a lot of black coaches. Because what you look at, even though we understand injuries, the exit of James Harden, Russell Westbrook, that kind of thing, let's understand something here. Stephen Silas, in all likelihood, will never get another head coaching job once this is over. There's going to be but so much patience. I know Fertitta and Rockets management are going to swear up and down. They're going to stand by him. He's going to be there for years to come. And I'm not saying they're lying. What I'm saying to you is that ultimately you end up losing your job. We got a guy like Alvin Gentry. Like, listen, we're both fond of Stan Van Gundy. And I think Stan Van Gundy's a damn good coach who's going to do a damn good job. Alvin Gentry was nothing to sneeze at. He's an assistant in Sacramento. Alvin Gentry is nothing to sneeze at. I don't think he should have lost that job in New Orleans, but he's gone. And so when I look at it from that perspective, I'm just saying that we're going to see black coaches looking at Stephen Silas, and it's like another one bites the dust. Because once this is over, All you're going to have to lean on is his record. And then another owner is going to sit up there and say, well, why should I take the chance on this guy? And that's the problem with it. Because you've been, and I'm not saying the Rockets organization set him up to fail, but by virtue of the situation that he is in, okay? And one could argue, KD, Kyrie, you know what? Excuse me, you had a relationship with Nash, fine. You didn't have a relationship with any brothers that you could have interviewed?
It's working out, though. It's working out, Brooklyn.
It's working out. And I actually hate talking about it with Brooklyn, because I think Nash is a good dude, and he's a damn good coach. And I think his future is bright, and it should be bright. I just wish we were able to look at someplace else in the NBA where we saw a black man get that kind of opportunity.
African-American coaches don't have to worry about, well, if I don't take this opportunity, maybe I never get another one. But if I do take it, I'm sunk.
Yeah, it's a shame.
Yeah, and people say you are your record, but this is an example where numbers do lie, and they don't tell the whole story, and it's completely unfair. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
What a weekend it was! Dickie V gracing our screens. And Dickie V, let me tell you, this was an unreal weekend. I said to the guys to start the show, I can't remember this many upsets. I had research look it up. And according to the betting lines, not based on rankings, we had 19 upsets so far. The party just getting started. Good to see you, sir. I want to start with Oral Roberts and pull that 15 seed beating the 2 seed Ohio State. How good is that team?
Well, you know, Oral Roberts, Molly, when you think about them, what a dynamite duo. I don't think anybody in the tournament has gotten play out of two guys like they have. The kid Max Asemus has been unreal. He's had 54 points in the 2 games. Then his buddy on the interior, Kevin O'Banner, has 59. I mean, he's been sensational. I mean, where are these two guys? I don't know where all the recruiters were to let these two guys get away, but I'm telling you what, that Oral Roberts, their theory and their theme has been expect a miracle. And we're seeing some miracles, man. I mean, Paul Mills' club is playing great defense when they have to, and they can score the basketball. They're playing legitimate big-time basketball. And those two kids I mentioned, I mean, Asemus, and certainly when you talk about O'Banner, they have been dominant.
Dickie V, always great to see you, buddy. Your thoughts about Mr. Buddy Boeheim. I mean, usually when you hear about a coach's son playing, you know, whether it's good for him to be on the team, he's got a great relationship, daddy supporting him, et cetera. No, that ain't the case here. This dude can play. I want you to talk about his game and what you see, what you've seen from him this season.
I'll tell you, Stephen A., you hit it on the nail, man. He's saying he's taking after his mother, Julie, in terms of his attitude and personality. I'm only teasing. I love Jim Boeheim. Got a note from him this morning. But I will tell you this. This kid is for real. You know what he reminds me of, Stephen A., Molly, and Max? He reminds me of a guy they said, can't play in the NBA. Never can play in the NBA. You know, but Pat Riley said, I'm going to give him a shot. And that's Duncan Robinson. There's no substitute for guys that can stroke the ball, that can make that shot. And when you look at Buddy Boeheim, when he shoots it, I feel there's a chance it's going in. He's been putting up incredible numbers, even in the ACC when he played against Virginia last year, 31. You get 31 against Virginia, teams don't get 31 on them sometimes. He gets 31. This kid is the legit real deal. He is a star. S-T-A-R. And I can even spell that. I belong in the spelling bee, Stephen A. I can spell star.
Dickie V, one of the great things about doing this show, because I do a radio show in the afternoons, the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, 2 p.m. Eastern, is I sharpen my takes against Stephen A. Smith over here. But I have Dickie V on right now, and I want to run something past you. Is this the best? Like, considering we're coming off a year of no tournament. We're coming out, hopefully, of a global pandemic. We're starving for sports. And then this happens? This weekend of madness happens? Is this the greatest opening weekend of the tournament, all things considered, ever?
You know, I would have to say yes, based on all those factors. And I'll go one step further. And I know Stephen A. is going to scream at me, NBA, NBA. But you know what? I don't care if he screams at me because I'll scream back. This is the greatest sporting event of them all. When it's a one-time shot and the party's over, there's nothing like it. I love the NBA. The NBA's got the greatest athletes in the world, but it's 4 out of 7. You could slip 3 times and you're going to advance if you win the 4. Well, that's not happening in college basketball, man. Just ask Illinois. They're home. 4 out of 7, maybe they beat, certainly, when you look at Loyola. But you get one shot, and that's the beauty of the game, Max. It is unbelievable what has transpired. I get excited about it. I'm just excited we got basketball. But now to have it also having these magical moments makes it even better.
Dickie V, I would never scream at you, my man. I would never do that. I would never do that. But I will tell you this. As I'm watching, I was not surprised at all that Illinois got knocked off. I will tell you this. I'm loving what I'm seeing from Baylor. Their athleticism, their ability to finish at the basket, that's impressive to watch. Gonzaga, we're going to continue to see what they do. Michigan, I mean, there's nothing to sneeze at. Right now, when you look at some of these top seeds still playing, who impresses you most?
Gonzaga. I think Gonzaga, I told you last time I was on with you guys, that I thought Gonzaga would go 32-0, and I don't change. I really believe that. I think they got 3 dynamite players that, as we talked last time, cover every important part of the floor. Jalen Suggs is the best probably point guard in the nation, according to many. Corey Kispert can shoot the 3 from the wing area. Drew Timmy gives them post presence in the lane. They got role players. I love that team. But I agree with you, Stephen A., about Baylor. What I saw in Baylor was reminiscent of when they were 17-0 before they got hit by COVID. When they got hit by COVID, they really went back a while. It took a while to get that rhythm going. And now all of a sudden, they seem to have that. They got the best backcourt in basketball when you look at numbers. You think about certainly Butler, who'll be an NBA player. You think about the kid Mitchell, who can stroke it. You think about Teague. And then you factor in off the bench the kid Flagler, who gives them point production. There's no doubt about it.
Coach, Dickie V, when you look at what's happened in the tournament so far, one of the things that jumps out to me is the Big Ten is 500. The Pac-12 is on fire. Yeah. Like, what are we to make of this, the fact that things are upside down?
Yeah, that's a great point. When you look certainly in the Pac-12, we got Oregon State right now in there, and you look at Oregon State, they were picked preseason last in the conference, yet they won the tournament. Coach Tinkle's done a heck of a job getting an outstanding player, Ethan Thompson, but the Pac-12 has done a fantastic job, and I think there's a reason, and I'm going to share this, and I don't know, it's not factual, it's not technical, it's just my VBDI, Vital Ball Dome Index, saying that I think that during the course of the year that the Big Ten teams have beaten each other up so much. Every game was physical. Every game was right to the wire, beating one another. And I think it took its toll. However, I don't want to take anything away. Loyola Chicago beating Illinois. Let me tell you, Porter Moser and those kids have done a great job. The kid Krulwick inside was a dominating player. Illinois as explosive. I believe, I may be wrong, but I think they won 14 of their last 15 games. Everybody was raving about them. I was raving about them. They were terrific. But they could never put a run or a spurt against Loyola. And Loyola Chicago had the magic. Mm-hmm. Had the magic. Sister Jean, name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, praying on a sideline. And they couldn't deal with
her prayers. And a good defense doesn't hurt.
Right? Expecting a miracle. Dickie V, let me ask you this. When we're talking about the Big Ten teams going against a non-Big Ten team, obviously SEC here. We got Michigan LSU tonight. What can we expect here?
All I'm going to say is Michigan fans, I would right now go and get my Pepto-Bismol on the side and start chewing on it because it's going to be stressful. It's going to be stressful.
By the way,
Pepto sent me a bunch of Pepto tablets, but I want to tell you this. Hey, when you look at that team, LSU has three guys that could possibly play in the NBA. Cameron Thomas, Javonte Smart, and you talk about Watford. Those guys can play. And their support players have really come up. The kid Hyatt's come up big time for them. Will Wade's team is coached well. They understand how to play. I had them against Alabama. This team is legit. However, saying all that, I think the difference maker will be nothing like offensive and defensive efficiency in a three-second area. I think the difference will be the 7-1 Hunter Dickinson when it gets down to the wire to crunch time.
For me, Dickie V, I watched Oregon State versus Oklahoma State, and I had Oklahoma State going to the Final Four. My other three teams are still live, but Oklahoma State obviously bowed out. They've got tremendous athleticism. They can really defend. Their trapping defense was something that, it was special. But, again, the erratic play, the erratic shot selection, you always talk about trusting your teammates because you love talking. You love engaging in coach speak to some degree. Trusting your teammates, kicking it to the wide open man instead of shooting contested shots. They didn't do that. I thought Oregon State played smarter. We all know how important that is as the tournament wanes. Who do you find to be the smartest team playing just in terms of shot selection and poise? Who's that team for you tournament proceeds?
Well, you know, talk about poise and knowing what you're doing on the floor and really making good decisions. You look right now at Loyola Chicago. I thought their poise was unbelievable. I thought their shot selection was outstanding. I thought they shared the ball really well. I thought they knew when to back it up, the kid Harris, the guard, when not to rush the tempo. I mean, all of that factors. But, you know, saying all that, you know, you mentioned also about Oklahoma State. They didn't get an All-American performance out of the superstar, who, by the way, in the NBA is going to be even better than he was in college for this reason. And you know the game better than I do, Stephen A., in the NBA.
No, that's not.
Bottom line is he's not going to face double teams, triple teams. He's not going to face all the kind of magical zone defenses. Trying to play him one-on-one, head-to-head at 6'8", the way he handles and he can stroke it, he's going to be a real star at the next level. I want to just thank him thank him for his loyalty to his school, because he could have transferred when they got in sanctions. It was a chance they weren't going to play in the tournament, but he stayed there, showed a lot of guts and heart. And I'll tell you this, I want to thank him for the magical moments he gave us thus far for 1 year.
Is the fact that, look, we don't have Duke and Kentucky this year, we have all of these upsets, how much do you ascribe that to the fact that this is a weird year, COVID and the whole thing, and how much of that is just coincidence? We just had this fantastic tournament, and Duke and Kentucky didn't make the cut.
Well, you know, they didn't make the cut, but they get conversation on the popular show, First Take. That's unbelievable. Teams are out to say, why aren't you talking about us? We're in the tournament. I will tell you this about both clubs. They were hurt with the pandemic big time. Young players starting out, they couldn't play those pre-conference cupcakes to get a little familiar with one another. And then they had the factor of they're both great home court environments. You go to Rupp and there's 20,000 people. They're all in blue, most passionate fans. You go down to Cameron Crazy and the crazies are going wild, chanting and screaming, giving you that adrenaline and that home court advantage. Didn't have that this year. Didn't have that. But I will tell you this. I will tell Molly. I will tell Stephen A. And I tell you, Max, I will guarantee you, Duke and Kentucky will be back. Those two coaches are all about what great leaders are about. They're about not what they've achieved, Hall of Fame status. They're all about getting better for the future.
I appreciate that. I love Coach Cal and I love Coach Krzyzewski. Please don't get me wrong, but the pandemic was not discriminating. It affected everybody. So what should it say to us that those other teams are in the tournament and somehow they had their team ready to roll, but that wasn't the case with two of the blue bloods of college basketball? What are we to make of that, Dickie V?
Well, we're going to make very simply. Very simply, what you say is very honest about those other clubs. But Stephen A., they had all young kids who didn't get a chance to get familiar with one another, couldn't do the pre-conference practices that did. The bottom line, it shows that veteran teams have prevailed this year. The veterans have made it, and the veterans absolutely have played a big part. Look at Baylor's lineup. Look at Michigan with Eli Brooks. They had livers. And then they got the two transfers who come and play. They didn't have that. They had freshman diaper dandies. Kids that were just, the part of the one and done. And they're done.
All right, last thing, Dickie V, and then I'll let you go because I know you got a million hits to do today. But who's on upset alert this evening? Or today, for that matter.
Upset alert. But you guys are tough all the time. Upset alert. Let's go, VBDI. Tell me. My upset alert. Are you kidding me? Ohio and Creighton. Creighton a 5 seed. Ohio a 13. Ohio proved they can play when they won that game against Virginia. The kid Preston had almost close to a triple-double. He had 11, 13, and 8. He can flat out play. And I'm telling you, that club is legit. They almost beat Illinois during the season, lost by 2 to them. They're just legit players. Hey, I asked one question. How many kids you think playing for Abilene Christian who beat Texas, how many at Abilene Christian were offered scholarships to Texas? How many kids you think at Loyola Chicago were offered scholarships to Illinois?
Well, Dickie V.
Think about that.
I will think about it, Dickie V, but you're saying you got Ohio upsetting Creighton. I got news for you. I don't think it is an upset. I think they're just as good, if not better, than Creighton. I don't view that as an upset. This kid Preston can ball. He's your point guard. I mean, he's leading the team.
You know what, 13.
I don't think it's
Stephen
an upset.
Stephen A. is right again. You're right again, Stephen A. What can I say? The bottom line.
Don't make his head any bigger, Dickie V.
Well, Molly, it's a 5 and a 12. No, I can't make his cash. I can't make his wallet any bigger. My
Stop
God.
It.
Save
Stop
me
it.
Some money.
Stop
I know.
It.
Hey, or his ego. Come on,
Dickie V.
They can't afford me.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, man.
Please.
I need some of the cash. I need
Stephen
a loan.
Stephen A. draining us.
I need a loan from you, Dickie V. I need a loan from you.
Oh, my God. You guys are
love
hilarious. You and all your first world problems.
I love my man.
You know it.
I love
my goodness.
You guys are great.
All right. This was a lot of fun. Dickie V, we're all going to take a page out of Oral Roberts and expect a miracle. I'll leave you with that. Okay, guys, let's head to the NBA. LeBron's teammates were not happy with the Atlanta Hawks' Solomon Hill on Saturday after a second quarter collision with King James resulted in him exiting the game with a high ankle sprain, no set date to return. After receiving criticism from the Lakers players Montrezl Harrell and Dennis Schroeder, Hill took to Twitter following the game to defend himself and wish LeBron a speedy recovery. Would never disrespect the game and take a player out purposely. He knows that. That's all that matters to me, praying for a speedy recovery. Max, is this fair or foul for Lakers teammates to call out Solomon Hill for LeBron getting injured?
It's foul, because as Damian Woody put it the other day, and I forgot the topic already, but he said, and it wasn't on this show, all you have is your last name in this world, really. Your reputation.
Oh, it's the Sean Watson topic, yeah.
Right. It was like what you have really in terms of the person you are is the kind of reputation you build based on your behavior. And if you're telling Solomon Hill he made a dirty play, a non-basketball play, when it wasn't true and took out physically, who's, you know, the biggest star in sports is now injured, it sullies his name. And he's there rightfully, I think, saying, No. Come on, he was going for the ball. You can see he was going for the ball. Now, he may not have been overly concerned about the health of the player he was going for the ball against, but that's not his job. His job is to go get the ball. I did not see a dirty play. I saw a basketball play and a little stumbling that resulted really in a really bad situation for the Lakers. I know the team is upset, but that's no excuse to try to go after a guy's name, to go after a guy's reputation based on something just because you're frustrated that's not true.
I think that's exactly why they did it. So I don't think it's too foul, because I think everybody can see it. It's incredibly transparent. Now, if it was a neutral party doing this to Solomon Hill, that would be a different matter altogether. But the fact that it was the opposition, a team that LeBron James is playing for and has led since he arrived, a team that LeBron James played for this year and only missed one game up to this point. We're not accustomed to seeing LeBron James hurt. It was an aberration 2 years ago when he was out because of his hamstring pull for 17 straight games and ended up missing over 20 when they didn't make the playoffs his first year there. You're not accustomed to seeing that happen with LeBron James and all of that other stuff. So there is a level of deference that people feel that you should have towards King James in a lot of regards. It's very predictable that the Lakers would take this position because their man, their leader, has gone down. It's not an accident that they lost that game to Atlanta, and then they got beat up by Phoenix last night where DeAndre Ayton drops 26-8. Chris Paul becomes sixth on the all-time assist list, and Devin Booker just quietly drops 26.
Phoenix is a problem.
Shooting. Phoenix is a problem.
Phoenix is a problem.
By the way, exceptional coaching led by Monty Williams and the crew.
8-0 in the bubble.
Exceptional coaching by him and his staff. Let's give them love. The bottom line is that it's not hard to see that the Lakers teammates being without LeBron and seeing him go down like that, they're thinking, you don't go after the ball like that with LeBron in the vicinity. Okay, if it was a neutral party, then you overreact. Then you not? I wouldn't call it an overreaction because, wait a minute, mind your damn business. You just go throw the guy's name out there like that. But considering the fact that he was the opponent, that they had just lost, that it's LeBron that got hurt or whatever.
I think
they're overly sensitive to anything because they're protective of their leader. That's what I think. All of us will take it that way.
I just feel like you can say, man, that's one of those things that's right. Really, you know, like he was going for the ball.
Right.
You know, but to say that it was a dirty play or right. a non-basketball play
well,
to right, me,
remember years
you're
ago,
impugning his reputation.
That's right. And I don't necessarily disagree with you, but what I'm saying is I think it's an overreaction. It's a predictable overreaction on their part. And I'll give you an example. Remember years ago when Patrick Beverly hurt Russell Westbrook
yeah.
because he was diving, he was lunging for a loose ball. Now, Patrick Beverly plays that way. Russell Westbrook couldn't stand him because of that, because it's like there's certain things you just don't do. And we all felt that way. But Patrick Beverly highlighted, that was not my intent. I just play hard all the time. I was going for the ball. You're Solomon Hill. You're going for the ball. You're not thinking about the fact that it's
question.
LeBron.
Question.
And that's how it goes.
Question. There are fighters, right? We know. Yeah. Like, I'll even mention him by name. Evander Holyfield or
sure.
someone like that.
Sure.
He was coming in. He's not exactly headbutting you, right, so you know it.
Yes.
But he is saying, look, my head's going to be there. If your face is there, it's your problem. But is that what Solomon Hill did?
Probably, but here's why I can't compare that. Evander Holyfield had that reputation. You know this better than me, covering boxing exceptionally well as you do. You know that there's a whole bunch of people out there in the sport of boxing that believes Look, and Vander Holyfield with that big head of his is going. A matter of fact, why did Tyson, not to excuse Tyson for biting him, but what did Tyson attribute it to? He can't headbutt me. Hey, look, I can't let somebody do that to me. I got kids to raise. You remember when he said that? That's what he said, okay? So what I'm saying to you is that Evander's reputation preceded him. That's not the case
with
Solomon
Hill. But that's what I'm asking. So you bring up Patrick
Solomon Hill.
You bring up Patrick Beverly. I can see a dude like Patrick Beverly having that Holyfield where he's like, look, I'm diving for you know me. Mm-hmm. If you're there, that's your problem. I didn't even see that from Solomon Hill. I saw a dude going for the ball, stumble a little bit, unfortunately fell into LeBron.
But they might have. They might have because in the throes of competition, that's what that's
how you
view it. I did it.
Me neither.
I did it.
That's what I'm
saying. I did it. I don't think it was intentional on his part at all. He certainly wasn't trying to hurt LeBron James. He was going for the ball because when you're going up against the greatest, you got to go hard all the time.
If you don't sacrifice your body on the floor against LeBron, you got no shot at all.
Got no shot. We agreed there.
Hey, guys, we got time to get one more NBA topic I want to get to really quickly here. So ahead of the trade deadline, obviously that's March 25th, the NBA trade deadline, that is. Klay Thompson's father, Michael Thompson, joined ESPN LA's Mason in Ireland show where he shared some interesting thoughts on adding Lonzo to the Warriors roster, saying, quote, Lonzo can play. I wish he was on the Warriors passing the ball to Steph and Klay. Stephen A., what do you think? Should the Warriors seriously consider trading for him?
Hell no. I don't believe that. I believe the Clippers should. I think that he would be a better fit on the Los Angeles Clippers, not the Golden State Warriors. I think that even though you're talking about the potency of the greatest shooting backcourt man has ever seen in Klay Thompson and Steph Curry, assuming they're both healthy on the court with them, I have religiously had a problem with Lonzo Ball's aggression. Now, this year, it's improved dramatically. He's averaging 14 a game. He's shooting 38% from three-point range, about 42% from the field. We get that. But the reason why we're praising him is because it's such an upgrade compared to what we have seen. He saw his little brother come into the league, take it by storm. God bless his son, LaMelo, who broke his wrist, according to reports.
That's a bad one.
He's going to be out for the season, probably going to cost the Rookie of the Year honors, which means Anthony Edwards is going to get it. But the point is this. LaMelo comes into the league, and LaMelo is aggressive. LaMelo don't give a damn what anybody got to say. He going for it. Lonzo has been passive, and I don't believe anyone who is passive in any way on the offensive side of the ball should be on the court with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson.
I don't find Lonzo passive.
Listen, you got Draymond. Draymond is your point forward, okay? You don't need Lonzo as much as the Clippers do. Kawhi Leonard has been crying for a point guard behind the scenes. He desperately needs one. That's not the case with Golden State.
I'm not arguing.
And don't take the ball out of Steph Curry's hands either.
I'm not arguing that the Warriors need Lonzo more than the Clippers. I think that's right. Mm-hmm. I'm saying, like, what team does Lonzo not fit on? You need some perimeter defense. You need some rebounding out of your backcourt.
He can play.
You need some court vision. You need pinpoint passing. You need unselfishness. You need a guy where the ball doesn't stick with him even as he facilitates your offense. You need a guy taking 7-8 threes a game and hitting almost 40% of them. Like, what team does that not work on? And most of all, which I see with both Ball brothers in the NBA, and it's a game, what just happened to LaMelo, who was going to win Rookie of the Year, and now, as you mentioned, missed the rest of the year. What I see from them both, they don't care about their stats. They don't care about, well, I'm going to put up 20 points or whatever it is. All they care about is helping the team win. You can see it on every possession. I think it'd be a huge bonus, a huge benefit to the Warriors.
I don't think so, because you have Draymond there, and I think that that's enough. I think that he potentially gets in the way. I look at him with the Clippers as being ideal. And, oh, by the way, I'm not a believer that LaMelo doesn't care about his numbers. I think Lonzo is that way. I think it's a flat-out lie that LaMelo doesn't care about his numbers.
I'm not saying
he plays the right way. I'm not trying to imply otherwise. I love LaMelo Ball's game so far, what I've seen. But what I'm saying is he's cognizant of his numbers.
So what are you saying about aggression? Are you saying you want players on your team that do care about their numbers?
I want guys that are aggressive. I'm on the record. The only vehement argument where I wasn't inquisitive, I literally challenged Magic Johnson.
De'Aaron.
Why are you drafting Lonzo Ball ahead of De'Aaron Fox?
Especially when De'Aaron gave it to him in the tournament.
39 in the tournament, destroyed him. Yeah. And listen, De'Aaron Fox, today I would still take De'Aaron Fox ahead of Lonzo.
Such a nice overall game nowadays.
Have you been watching De'Aaron Fox?
Athletically, it's not a competition. Athletically, it's different.
And aggression, assertiveness, leadership.
Lonzo has the kind of game that can contribute to winning anyway.
I don't disagree with that, but not to the degree that De'Aaron Fox can. I tell you that right now. You squash that.
I think
you can squash that.
More different teams.
Okay. Let them go to Clippers then. Clippers.
That'd be great on the Clippers.
Fun show today, fellas. Bama, North Carolina right after us here on ESPN. We'll be back at it tomorrow. Don't miss it. Have a fabulous day. Please stay safe.
Look beautiful.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting LectricEbikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.